Okay, well, thank you very much. This is Steve Metallitz, and maybe those on the call would like to identify themselves so we can associate their names with their voices.
Gisela, do you want to go through the list? I think you have a list.
Yes, I'll do the quick list, and then I'll hand it over to you. On this evening's call, we have Tatiana Kramsova, Michaeli Nalon, Danny Younger, Staten Hammock, Steve Metallitz, Mark Trachtenberg. We have from staff Marika Konings, Heidi Ulrich, Margie Milam, myself, Gisela Gruber-White. We are expecting Christina Rosette in about 15 minutes, and we have apologies from Holly Raitt. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Well, and thanks, everybody, for making the time for this call. I didn't put together a formal agenda, but I see that the staff has kind of taken my free association list and put it into an agenda, which is good. So I appreciate that. It's on the on the wiki as introduction, which I guess we've now handled. Scope of work, number 3, provisional deadlines, number 4, sole meetings, and number 5, procedural issues, mailing lists, wikis, and scheduling of future calls. Are there any other topics that people want to cover today? Okay, if not, I think we can plunge ahead. I think in terms of the scope of work, the charter that's linked to from the wiki page is not the current one. It's not the one that was approved by the council, but I think that the 3 items on the that are defining the scope of work of this sub-team are, number 1, identify topics on which further action in the form of amendments to the RAA may be desirable. Number 2 is from list 1, flag any topics that may require further analysis as to impact on consensus policy. And number 3, propose next steps for considering such amendments. And there's also a note that we have a sort of a dynamic relationship with the sub-team A that's working on the registrant rights charter. But just looking at those 3 tasks, identifying topics, flag topics that may require further analysis, and then propose the next steps, it strikes me that those pretty much have to be done in that order. I don't think we can, it would be very efficient to do this in parallel. So I guess my suggestion would be that the first, we tackle the first topic first, which is to identify topics on which further action in the form of amendments to the RAA may be desirable. And it seems to me that means we're not looking at, we're not being asked to draft specific amendments or the exact language of amendments. We're being asked to identify topics. And I suppose those could be general topics or they could be more specific topics. And I guess more specific might be more useful, but general could be useful too, I guess. And my sense is, and I'd welcome people's thoughts on this, my sense is that we want to as comprehensive a list as possible. We're kind of in a phase of putting things in a pile, and some things will undoubtedly come out of the pile later, but we're trying now to get as comprehensive a list as we can of the topics on which further action in the form of amendments may be desirable. So, I think it's because it's kind of an additive process, not a necessarily decision-making process. So, if anybody thinks a topic is a good one, then probably should go in the pile as long as it's something that could be dealt with as an amendment to the RAA. That's kind of my opening thoughts on it, but let me open the floor, and I don't know if people, I think we're a small enough group, if people just want to speak up if they have comments on that or different ideas about how we ought to proceed.
Steve, this is Margie. May I comment?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. I don't know if any of you attended the webinar we gave last week from the policy group, just kind of highlighting topics. But in that, we identified that as staff, we've sort of done an internal analysis of issues that may be appropriate for additional amendments, and we're putting together we've put together a paper that describes them, mostly from a compliance perspective, things that the compliance department may need, you know, or would like to see in the contract, and we'd like to share that with the working group. We're a little worried about the timing because of Seoul, so, you know, with all the deadlines and such for documents to be published before Seoul, we chose not to do that, but we think it might be a useful tool for the working group to consider.
I certainly think it would be, but let me see if other people have comments or reactions.
And this is Mark Drachenberg. I can't see why it wouldn't be helpful. Any ideas are helpful.
And I guess my thinking is I don't see a problem with putting it forward now. I mean, if you've got it ready, as I said, I think this is an additive process. We're obviously not going to compile our list before the Seoul meeting, since that starts in less than a week. But we could certainly start putting things in the pile, and then hopefully we'll talk about the timetable, but I hope that by our next teleconference we could, you know, have put everything, you know, as many ideas as possible out there, and we can weed out duplicates and make sure it's organized appropriately, and then move on to the next topics, the next items on our list. So, my feeling is it would be to I would encourage you to put it forward as soon as possible.
Okay, yeah, we're still finalizing it, so it may take a little longer given the travel schedules and such, but we'll try to get it done as quickly as possible.
Okay, well, I understand that. We're sort of in the same position. Within IPC, we've been developing a list, but it's just not final yet. So. Okay, do other people want to have comments to make on this first item in our scope of work?
Steve, this is Danny. Just to clarify matters somewhat, because we've got two active contracts at the moment. When we're identifying topics, I take it we should be referring to the specific language in each of those contracts?
Well, again, with topics, I'm not sure you necessarily need to focus on language, but you're right in terms of what the baseline is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask the staff about this. I mean, my impression is that over some period of time, everybody will be on the new contract. Is that correct or is that incorrect?
Yes, that is correct. The registrar, because of the incentives we've given, are adopting it voluntarily early. But when, you know, it's assuming there's a registrar that doesn't do that, when their contract comes up for renewal, it would be, then they would be on the new contract. So it will happen over time. The percentage is fairly high, though. There's a significant number of registrars that have committed to the new contract. Something like 86% of names that are managed in total are covered by registrars that have committed to the new contract.
Oh, okay. So do you think it would be safe for us to assume that kind of our baseline, our starting point, is the new contract, since most registrants are already covered by that, evidently, and the others will be over a fairly short period of time? Is that...
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. So I guess...
Dave, I thought that the period of time was 5 years.
Staff, what is... I don't know...
It's a 5-year process because of the fact that if someone signed a contract right before the amendments went into place, the renewals are it's a 5-year renewal. But because many of them have voluntarily chosen the new contract, ultimately 100% will be within 5 years if they haven't chosen to sign up earlier.
And 86% are already under the new contract, is what you're saying. 86% of registrants.
Registrants, not registrars. I don't have the exact number on the registrars.
Yeah.
Margie, quick question. Could we prevail upon ICANN staff to list for us those registrars that are actually signed up for the new contract, perhaps on the accredited registrar page, simply putting in a new column to make it clear who's abiding by what contract?
I'll check with the services team. I believe there's some initiative to do something like that. I just don't have the specifics on that. So I'll get the information back to the list.
Thank you.
Margie, if I could just echo what Danny said on that, that's something IPC has already asked for, and so we hope we can see that soon.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I mean, I guess, Danny, my thinking is, obviously, if there's something that is would be relevant only to people under the old contract, then that's a certainly legitimate point for our list of topics, I guess, but it sounds as though most registrants are already under the new contract, or their registrars are, that will obviously increase over time, but thank you for pointing out that it's going to take several years before 100% are under the new contract. Okay, other questions about this first point?
Yeah, McKaylee here.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's just, I appreciate that, you know, identifying which registrars are under which version of the contract. My understanding is that we're looking at proposing modifications to the RAA, in which case you're looking at making modifications to RAA V2. So I don't see what would be achieved by making a modification to something under the old RAA. I mean, as we've already got the new one in place.
Okay.
I mean, while I can understand that it might be frustrating that some registrars aren't signed up to the new RAA, it's a bit outside our scope if we're looking at proposing modifications. There's obviously getting people to sign that is getting people to sign whichever version of the RAA is something that staff I know are dealing with.
Yeah.
This is Aubrey. I wanted to do two things, if I could.
Yeah, go ahead.
First, I just wanted to say that I came in late, and therefore for the attendance, I'm here. I would think, and then if I would think that in terms of old RAA and new RAA, the only time it would really come in is on something that was deemed to be a consensus policy that would therefore be applied to where there may be some need to distinguish between the two that I'm not even positive then. I think what has been said, you know, before in terms of it just applying to the second contract is probably reasonable, but it occurred to me that there may be occasions where, you know, if it was a consensus policy thing, it might affect both. Hypothetically.
Okay. Thank you. Other comments on this on this question?
Steve, you might be able to answer this off the top of your head. The 3.773 clause, is it identical or different language between the two contracts currently?
I think there are some differences.
Right.
Yeah.
So, in view of that, I simply want to hold out for the possibility of allowing for amendments to both contracts, as long as we've got a five-year span ahead of us.
Okay. Well, again, my sense is that our job is not to draft amendments. Our job is to identify topics. And so, obviously, there would be some logistical differences if someone were jumping, you know, if what results ultimately at the end of a long process from our list is version 3, then some people might conceivably jump from version 1 to version 3 directly, and others would be going from version 2 to version 3. So there might be some differences in actual drafting. I think your point is well taken that when we're drawing up these topics, we should recognize that not everybody is starting from the same place in terms of what their obligations are, what their responsibilities are, what their rights are, depending on which version of the contract is in place. Anybody else? Michaela, I see your, I don't know if your hand is still up or you wanted to be recognized again. Okay. if I could suggest that we turn now to what provisional deadline we should be looking for all the members of the drafting sub-team to come up with their lists or step forward with their lists if they have items to suggest. And also, I guess we should actually talk about the staff list. Is there any objection to including the staff-generated list that is in process, but once it's done, is there any objection to including the staff-generated list in our deliberations, if you will? Okay, so I'm assuming that would be part of our that's part of our raw materials also. So I wonder if we can look at a target date for everybody to step forward or to put their lists in. Obviously, this can be supplemented later, but at least so we have something to start with. And since we're obviously not doing it, getting this done before the Seoul meeting, and many people are traveling to Seoul and then coming back, I think we need to be looking at a date at least a week or two after the Seoul meeting. So let me throw out on the table the suggestion of Monday, November 9th, for the date to for everybody to submit their lists, and then we could hopefully schedule a call soon thereafter to go over these and, among other things, weed out the duplicates or clarify things that are unclear in the list of topics, and also figure out how best to organize the list. Does that sound good to? Does that sound like a reasonable deadline?
I'm okay with it.
I see some check marks, and so if without objection, let's set that Monday, November 9th as the date for everybody or as many people as are interested to submit their list. Again, this is not final, but hopefully as complete as you can of issues that you think are good topics for amendments to the RAA, and then we can go from there. And presumably the staff list will be done by then as well, Margie, right? Hello?
Yeah, we'll make that our target.
Okay. Great. Okay, I think I don't think we can set any other deadlines at this point because I think that is our first step. Do people think we should be mapping out other deadlines here, or should we just plan to, you know, schedule a call shortly after November 9th so that people have had a chance to review what's come in and what's posted on the list, and then go from there? So, you know, we can obviously use the doodle or whatever to try to set up the date and time of the next call on that process. Okay, unless there's any objection, maybe we can move on to the agenda item on the meeting in Seoul. We had a little back and forth I did with the staff and with Bo Brendler, who's heading the other sub-team, about scheduling this, but I think we've come to rest that we will have some type of opportunity to meet on Wednesday, which is the 28th in Seoul. I believe it's at 5:30 p.m. Staff can
yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
That's correct.
Okay. Do we know the room for that, or we'll just wait and see what's scheduled?
I'll send it around. I think it's Sapphire 4, but I'll confirm that in an email.
Okay. And one reason, as we were going back and forth about dates, it was apparently, you know, there was some discussion about the value of having translation services available, and I think they would be available at that date and time and in that room. I don't know what exactly we have to do to decide. Do we want that? How do we get that? Or I guess I'm kind of asking the staff for some guidance here about what we would need to do.
I can't remember whether I asked for... Heidi, are you online? Do you recall what we asked for?
Yes, I'm not sure. Let me see if I can get meetings and confirm that during the call.
Okay. Great. Well, we'll get that worked out, but I guess I'd be open to people's ideas about what we should be doing during this hour and a half that we have to meet face-to-face. In practice, it's also a means of other people getting involved, obviously, because they may, wander into that meeting without having had the benefit of all of our interactions so far. But I guess I'd welcome people's thoughts on how best to make use of that time. And of course, I'll try to communicate with Bo Brendler, my co-coordinator here, and see what he wants to do. Do people have thoughts about how we should make use of our meeting time in Seoul? Okay, Christina has raised her hand.
thank you. I was just wondering that, it does seem a shame to not take the opportunity of a face-to-face meeting to get some work done, and I'm just wondering that notwithstanding the fact that the final list deadline isn't until the 9th of November, I would imagine that there may be enough of us participating either in person or remotely that we could at least talk through some of the topics that are on some people's lists, and obviously we wouldn't make or purport to make any kind of definitive decision at that meeting. But I think that might be helpful to do at that point.
Okay. Thank you. Would people think about that? And would they? I guess the one question is, who on this call is expecting to be at that meeting in Seoul? I'm planning to be there.
I'll be there.
I'll go there.
This is Staten. I'll be there.
Okay. And I see Christina and Michaela have their hands up. I don't know if that was hands up saying they will be there or hands up to make a comment. I guess it was hands up that they'll be there. So we'll at least have four or five of us there, perhaps more. So could we ask people to bring a couple of topics to put on the table there and to start discussing? Again, I think we're in an additive process here, not necessarily a decision-making process, so it would be basically just to put forward a couple of topics and answer questions or have clarification about what might be covered by them. I could certainly try to bring forward a couple of topics, and again, I think everyone should be aware, as Christine says, not an exhaustive list. Even what we come up with after Seoul won't necessarily be an exhaustive list, but let's at least get the conversation started. Some examples. Okay, well, I'd be glad to bring forward a couple of examples, and maybe if people I would encourage everybody else who's attending there, whether in person or virtually, to do so as well. But again, I can certainly talk with Bo Brendler about how exactly he wants to handle this, because both sub-teams will be meeting together. Let me just ask, in terms of I'm kind of making the assumption that there would be remote participation possible in this meeting. Is the staff, can I confirm that with the staff also?
This is Heidi. I think at a minimum we could do an Adobe Connect. We can continue this room, which people can send in their questions and participate this way. Margie?
Yeah, that's right. I'm looking at the request I made. I didn't request interpretation, but I did request audio recording, audio streaming, chat, so we could do it through Adobe Connect.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds good. Okay. So, yeah, for those who aren't attending in person, and time zones permitting, maybe can participate. Okay, any other thoughts about how we ought to make use of the time in Seoul? Okay, well then I'll certainly volunteer to just give a brief introduction to this, particularly for the people who may be new to it there, and then put forward a couple of topics, and I hope others who are in attendance will also put forward a couple of topics, and we can at least start having that conversation, and then try to come up with a more extensive and written list of topics by November 9th on the list, and then meet shortly thereafter. Okay, any other thoughts about Seoul that we need to discuss? Okay. The last item is procedural issues, mailing lists, wikis, and scheduling of future calls. So I guess I'd ask the staff if there are things that they would like to see raised or things they'd like people to know about under this topic.
One of the suggestions might be, do we want to have a regular scheduled time for this working group? If we get in the habit of going, you know, a certain time, a certain day, weekly or biweekly, that sort of discussion, so we know what to anticipate from a scheduling perspective.
Okay. How do people react to that? I'll just give my reaction. I mean, this group has a fairly short lifespan. I mean, I think we've got a few. I don't remember our ultimate deadline, which of course could change. But this is not a long-lived group. And I guess one concern I would have might be that since we're talking about the next call in the middle of November, we're starting to get pretty close to the end of the year holidays for a lot of people. So it may be a little bit difficult to say yes, we'll meet every other Thursday at 1600 UTC when the next Thursday would be a holiday somewhere or other. That's my only thought, but I'd be interested in what other people have to say on it. Okay, well, if there's no other comments on that, then why don't we, at least for now, we'll just do the doodle thing about scheduling our call sometime shortly after November 9th. And what I tried to give the first time around was a pretty wide range of times, and knowing that we have a couple of people from Australia who aren't on this call, I hope we can try to accommodate them from that time zone the next time. So, we'll send out the doodle, in the usual course, I guess. In terms of the mailing list, there is now a separate mailing list for sub-team B, right? So everybody is on that. It's publicly archived. What else do we need to cover under these procedural issues? Well, maybe we've got it all covered then. If I can sum up, I think we've agreed that we'll have this meeting in Seoul with the other sub-team Wednesday at 5:30. We'll try to bring some examples of topics for potential amendments to the RAA and start talking about them there. We will all endeavor, or as many of us as possible, endeavor to submit to the list our more comprehensive list of topics by November 9th. And we'll meet shortly thereafter to start on editing that list, which I think is primarily a question of making sure that, eliminating duplication and organizing it in some coherent fashion. And then I think we can move on to our next step, which is flagging any of those that have consensus policy implications. So I think, and we will not at this point have a set or weekly or biweekly meeting time. We can always revisit that decision later. And we also know there is a staff list, which will also be put into the mix, certainly by November 9th, if not before. So is there anything else that that people want to bring up on this call?
Yeah, Steve, I just wanted to get a general clarification from staff just to straighten out some of the confusion in my own mind. We've got clause 5.4 that deals with an updated agreement, and yet we've got another clause, 5.14, that deals with amendments and waivers. And I just wanted to get a sense of what the real difference was between those two clauses. Are we looking at updating an agreement by way of, you know, amendment by amendment, or are we after a, I don't know, an overall update? I mean, what does it mean to update the agreement from the staff perspective?
I can slightly address that. I don't think we're viewing it as an amendment to the existing contract. I think what we're doing is adopting a new form of agreement. And so that's the way we did it with the last version. It was a new form of agreement which would take it would be adopted voluntarily by the registrars. We can certainly explore other ways of making it well, because that's certainly another way of doing it. But what we were envisioning was a new form that would somehow be used to be migrated to over time.
Okay, that's helpful.
And if it's helpful for our meeting on Wednesday in Seoul, I can try to get some guidance from the legal department on the various options. So we can certainly explore the other ways of making these amendments effective.
Okay, it sounds like a good idea. Other questions or other points to be raised before we adjourn? If not, then thanks to everybody for their participation, and for those who are traveling, safe travels, and we'll watch for a doodle in the near future for a call in mid-November to work on the list of topics. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.